Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
Ah, the blessings of the Lord make us rich this day and add no sorrow to it. Aren't you glad that you have a God that you serve today that takes what the enemy means for your harm and what was intended to do you no good, God turns it for your good. He is a great, mighty God, and there is none like our God. He is righteous, he is holy, he is ever faithful. When we come up short, amen, the grace of God spans the chasm between my flesh and spirit and allows me to have victory, amen. If you feel inadequate today, I want you to know there's grace in the house. If you feel like you've fallen one too many times, I want you to know there's grace in the house today. If you feel like that you can't stand today, I want you to know there is grace in the house today. Amen. Because in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. Amen. I would rather glory in that weakness so God can receive all the praise and the honor. I would rather it be known, amen, that it's not about me, but it's all about him. Anybody feel that way today? Aren't you thankful for the grace of God that is sufficient? Hallelujah. Even when your heart doesn't feel it, even when you don't realize it, even when it seems to go against the grain of your thinking, amen. I want you to know grace of God is sufficient today. Amen. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Hallelujah. God is so good, and I am glad to be gathered here again on this Sunday morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And it is good to be able to do that together, to be able to worship the Lord and to see you here in church. And to be thankful unto him and bless his name. It is always good to worship God, isn't it?
Yes.
And I'm thankful that we are gathered here together in this one service. And I'm looking forward, in 2 weeks is Easter. And I'm looking forward to people being back, people being in church that won't be in church any other time of the year. And I'm encouraging you to invite people and to bring your family and friends with you. I recognize the challenges that are presented to us because of social distancing and what have you. But I trust that you're going to be able to work with us, and thank you for your kindness in advance to the greeters as we negotiate getting everybody in here in the balcony in these chairs, and maybe even setting out more chairs as we try to do that for people to feel safe and we can still have church. And I want to say today that I'm grateful, so grateful that we are able to have church today together. Amen. Amen. Some of our fellow churches in the community of various denominations went back into in-person service for the first time last week for over a year. And I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed us to maintain church consistently, either online or in person here. God is so good to us. Amen. God is so good to us. Praise God. And I'm glad that you are in church today. Why don't you just, again, I know you already have, but there have been people that have come in, just turn and say hello to someone. Would you do that? And welcome them. And to our guests, we are so grateful that you are here today. So thankful that you are here. It is good to have you with us today as we worship the Lord together. The book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Wednesday night, looking forward to church. God's going to do great things. Kids will have church as well upstairs, and the youth in their class, and I'm looking forward to what the Lord will do for them. And each Sunday, the kids are in their class right now in Sunday school over in the Life Center. Pray for them, and thank you for helping us with that in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to walk with me for a few moments in the Word today and understand some things. The Word of God speaks expressly to us if we will hear what the Word of God is speaking expressly to us. We will understand it. If we will have ears to hear, hearts to receive, lives to respond, the Word of God will speak to us today. It says this in the book of Hebrews, by faith Noah, being warned of God, in verse number 7 of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, Hebrews 11, verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Things not seen as yet. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Walk with me in the Word, things not seen as yet. Father, I pray that you would touch us in our minds and our hearts. I thank you, God, for the purpose of the Word today. I thank you, God, for the anointed Word. It will go forth. It will not return void. It's the promise you give us. And I thank you, God, that that we are saved by today, by your blood, by your name, by your word, by what you did for us at Calvary. It is the great gospel. It's a great hope that we have. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts expressly today, and I pray that we would respond to it. And I thank you, God, that you break every yoke by your anointing, and that the captive soul in this house today can be set free, God. They can repent and be baptized in your name, Jesus, and filled with your spirit. God, rise in newness of life. And I thank you for that promise, God. And so now, Lord, I pray, baptize us, anoint us all, touch us all, anoint me to be your mouthpiece. Thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. And we love you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Would the church now begin to worship God with me? God, I praise you and worship you. You are God and God alone, and there is no other God beside you or before you. You are the one and only God. You are the one and only Savior of the world. You are the one and only Redeemer. I praise you, God, and thank you for your goodness and your great grace, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Aren't you thankful for what you feel in the house today? Can I tell you, it's because we come into this place and we pray. Thank you for coming early and praying at 9:30. Amen. I feel that touch of the Holy Ghost from it, don't you? God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. When the Apostle Paul penned the words of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 12th verse, he was revealing the common limitation and struggle that each of us deal with in this veil of flesh and spirit, if you would please. He said this, for now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. For now we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly. We only know in part. The full picture of all that was and is and will be is obscured. It's partial, intentionally incomplete. It's not just the present and future that is somewhat blurry, but it is as well the past. For even from a present perspective of our life, we can't see or understand all the reason and rhyme for what was or what has been in our life. Without question, we learn from it what was, what has been. They serve as marks on the map of life that we learn to live by. But to know the complete reason why, to understand how it all fits into the purpose plan of God in our life is often yet to be seen. The past is not yet clear. We don't fully understand what has been. We can't really comprehend the events, the steps, the stones of life that have led us to this particular time. But in time, we shall understand more. It's yet to be seen. So we see through the glass darkly. We know in part the present and future, yet still are often unclear. But it does not say that it is completely dark. Right. Paul did not say that there is no vision, right. No sight to be seen. Right. We still see through the glass, dimmed and darkened, yes, but completely denied,
right.
No.
Right.
What and how it's seen through is dependent on the lens through which we are looking at it through, the flesh or the spirit, the temporal or the eternal, the word of man or the word of God. When life, past, present, or future is looked at through, everybody still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
I need you to just walk with me for a minute in the word as we figure this out. When life, past, present, or future is looked at through the lens of our own liking, the flesh and temporal sin and self, the vision will be skewed. It will be distorted and thereby defined and determined incorrectly. When I look at life, when I see life presently, past, presently, or future, when I look at it through the lens of the flesh, it's going to be skewed. It's going to be distorted. I'm not going to understand it clearly. It will be determined incorrectly. I will make decisions based on my flesh that are temporal, momentary gratification, momentary satisfaction, and I will seek to satisfy it then because that's the nature of my flesh. It wants that immediate, it wants the relief, it wants the satisfying, it wants the entertainment, if you would. But when it's viewed in the spirit through the eternal, the word of God, the details become more clear and the direction of the destination becomes more important than the present conditions. Do you understand that? When I look at it, somebody say amen. When I look at life, when I look at the past, the present, and the future through the lens of the Spirit, through the Word of God, the direction, the destination becomes more important than the present condition. It's not about the immediate gratification. It's not about what my flesh wants right now. It's not about how I feel right now, but I understand that how I feel right now, I've got to submit it to God so that there is an ultimate destination that's received in Him. Yeah. Our ability to see and to live life more clearly for God is dependent on our willingness to remove the things in our life that obstruct the vision. It comes down to that. It's as simple as that sometimes. It's not profound. It's not complicated. It's not something that you have to look up in the Greek and Hebrew translations. It's just simply that there are certain things in our life that need to be removed out of our life, that need to be put to the side out of our life, that need to be submitted to God, that need to be yielded to God so that we can see the spiritual things.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. That obstruct the vision. Daniel opened the windows when he prayed.
Right.
It was not that the windows hindered the God of heaven from hearing his prayers. Do you understand that?
Right.
Daniel three times a day opened the windows and prayed toward Jerusalem. And it was not that the windows, the physical windows, hindered the God of heaven from hearing his prayers, but it was a physical demonstration, an expression of a spiritual response.
Wow.
Do you see that? When he opened the windows, it was just a demonstration. It was an expression. Somebody say expression. It was an expression of what he was doing. It was an expression of what he was demonstrating, what he was feeling in his spirit. There was going to be no hindrance. There was going to be no obstruction. The window was going to be open. He wasn't going to let anything come between him and his God. He wasn't going to allow anything physical to be the thing that kept him from the spiritual. I know I'm plowing a little bit of corn here today, but I need you to walk with me. He wasn't going to allow anything in this present to keep him from the eternal that he had to receive in God. And so he opened the windows. How we live our life and what is allowed in and lived out of our life is a demonstration of what matters most and the clarity of the view that we have of God and godly things. And often we struggle with this because we don't want to live a life of holiness, or we don't want to live a life of submission to God, or we don't want to sacrifice some things in our life because we are so gripped and taken by the temporal that we don't submit that temporal to the eternal.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes you got to open a window. Sometimes you got to decide that you're going to physically walk out and just do the things that need to be done to demonstrate in life, to express what you're feeling in your spirit. Someone say amen. So it must be understood that the importance of the present being seen and responded to affects our ability in the spirit to see what is yet to be. I don't know if I'm getting this out today. Sometimes it's got to be understood that the temporal, the physical things right now have to be submitted to God. So this present being seen and responded to, what I do right now affects our ability in the spirit to see what is yet to be. I will not see certain things unless I submit present things. Amen. The glass may be dark, but we don't need to make it any darker. You follow that? This glass, we may see through a glass darkly, but we don't have to make it any darker. We don't have to put things in our life that cause it to be more obscured. We don't have to allow things in our life to be presently there that keeps us from seeing what God really needs us to see, even though it's darkly seen. Things not seen as yet move Noah with fear. My, I feel the Holy Ghost in this word today. I feel God trying to reach to somebody with something. Things not seen as yet move Noah with fear. That word fear is better translated as reverence. Things not seen as yet move Noah with reverence. It was not fear defined by worldly, fleshly standards, fear that's unsettling or unsure, if you would, that causes us to be apprehensive. That's not the fear he was talking about here. This was a reverence to God. This was a reverence to the Word of God, to the things of God. A fear that was a reverence, a fear that respected the Word of God. It respected the warning of God. Everyone hear this. A reverence that heard the call and clarity of God and moved in response to the call and the clarity of God. He was moved in reverence. He was moved in fear. He moved to respond to what he knew he needed to do. Noah moved. He did not sit still. He did not lazily or idly just meander about the warning given. His life was moved. He was moved. Anybody ever been moved? Moved to the place of response? Moved to the place to know that something has to change? Moved to the place that something must be done with what is heard, what is given? The mere fact that we are in this house today hearing the word of God in the presence of God demands of us that we move, that we do something with what has been given to us. Noah moved. He didn't sit still. Something within him stirred. It caused him to put hand to the plow and not look back. Look at this. Our willingness to be dealt with and changed by the word and spirit of God can determine our ultimate salvation. Our willingness to hear it, our willingness to be convicted by it, our willingness to be moved by it, amen, can determine our ultimate salvation. But I prayed through, Pastor. I spoke in tongues. I was baptized in the name of Jesus. I went to that altar as a child. I'm thankful that you did. I'm thankful that it happened. I did it too. To God be the glory. But at the same time as I walked this journey of life, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It was not just a one-time visit to a place where I wept. Amen. But it is the continual progress of the Spirit that I come to. Somebody hear me now. It's that place that I put myself in that I continually be dealt with by the Spirit of God and change when I know I need to change. God can say things to me, preach things to me, teach things to me that will convict me and remind me I must be saved. Amen. Because the way life is, it's not just about that one-time encounter, but along the way we pick up things. That's why he said, lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. He was speaking to the church there, people that believe there were certain things that accumulated over time that need to be laid aside. Amen. Our ability to be saved is contingent upon our willingness to be dealt with and be changed by the word of God. Genesis 6:9 said that Noah was a just and perfect man. He walked with God. Hear me. Noah was not new at this. He was not new at this. He was not a novice. He had lived for God prior to this warning, but still he had to respond. Noah was a just man. This was before the call of God. This was before the warning of God. This was before there was ever an ark, and this was before there was ever a drop of rain. Noah was a just man. He was a good man. He was a perfect man. But still, when the call of God came, when the word of God was given, when the warning was put out, amen, Noah had to respond for himself. Can I tell you, our past or our pedigree does not save us. Our heritage can give us hope, but when it comes down to it, no matter how long we have been at this, we have to remain movable in God, responsive, pliable in the hands of the one that is saving us. I'm telling you, this man in the pulpit today, that I forgot how many times I've been in a pulpit. I've got to tell you that I'm still being saved. I'm still in the process. I'm still being moved by God. I'm still hearing the preach. You got to be able to hear what God's saying to the church. Doesn't matter what we call our past to be or the pedigree, how much we've been raised in it or cut our teeth on the pews. There still must be that moving of the Holy Ghost that we feel, and we're changed by it when we're convicted. Amen. Amen. Noah was moved with reverence. We have to be moved with reverence to God. The awe and the wonder of his spirit, it just can't be missed. We can't come in here in the commonplace and think that, well, this is just church as usual. No, this is not church as usual. We are in the presence of the Almighty. We are in the presence of the one that can save us. The gripping conviction can't be casually disregarded. The word spoken has to be heard and heeded. Amen. Noah was moved, and because of that, he prepared an ark. An ark was built for the saving of his household. Every man, every woman in this place should understand that message. If you don't get anything else, I hope you get that. Amen. Noah was moved to the preparing of an ark so that he might save his household. Amen. The responsibility, everybody okay? The responsibility of Noah, he recognized that his household needed to be saved. And if this household was going to be saved, then he needed to build an ark. He had to hear the call of God, he had to hear the word of God, and he had to do the things that God told him to do. Because otherwise his family was going to be lost. It's the responsibility of every one of us in this place that we are building an ark for people to find themselves a refuge in. Amen. They may not necessarily be under your roof, but they may be in your word. They may not be necessarily somebody that puts their feet under your table, but they may be the ones that you have an influence in their life and an impact in their life that could change them and save them forever. That you say something, that you build something in your life so that they can find a shelter in. That you build something that they can run into. When the storms come and the rains fall, they know where they can turn to. They know who they can turn to. Many of you have told me they've turned to you. That in the middle of the night, that friend that you witnessed to, I feel the Holy Ghost today. That friend that you witnessed to, that person that you said something to along the way, you were the first person that they called when that child needed prayer. Amen. You were that one person they reached out to that when the calamity happened in their life, they knew where they needed to turn. I can't tell you the phone calls that I've received through the years from people that have have called me that used to come to church, that have gone away from the Lord, but they found themselves in a crisis moment and they knew the place that they had to run back to. And the merciful God that He is and always will be, He was right there for them and He will be right there for you. Because when you build an ark, it's not just about saving you, it's about saving somebody else. There's a reason. I'm so out of my notes today, but I just need you to walk with me. There's a reason why you're sitting on that pew right now, because you're building something that has yet to be seen. You're doing something that's not a finished work. It's a work in progress. Again, he that endured to the end the same. You're sitting there because you've got a word to speak to somebody. You've got a child to raise. You've got a life to live. You've got an impact that you've got to make, and your faithfulness to church and your service to God and your relationship with Him. It's not just about the here and now, but it is about then. Somebody say amen. Amen. Noah was moved. Amen. He was moved. The wood was cut, the provisions made, and the ark was put together. Something was built from the reverence to the word. Something was constructed from the reverence to the word. What is it that we are building in our life? Well, the truth is, we are always putting work into something. We are always investing either in the temporal or the eternal. Always. Look at this, if you would, please. Everybody hear this. We survive what we prepare for. We survive what we prepare for. Salvation in and through the storm is determined by what we do right now. I heard you said a few years ago, we'll take more time planning about 2-week vacation than we do about a retirement. We'll take more time about this temporal than we will the eternal. We'll be more concerned about how we feel right now than how we want to feel then. We'll be more concerned about the opinion of people now than we will about the judgment of God then. We'll be more taken about the temporal of this flesh than we will the eternal nature of the soul. We survive what we prepare for. And salvation in and through the storm is determined by what we do right now. There may have been no rain as yet when he was building, but he was building for another day. Do you understand that? There hadn't been any rain. The ground was watered from the earth up. There was the vapor that went up according to the vapor thereof. Hear me, someone. There may have been no rain. There may not be any rain in your life right now. There may not be one storm cloud that you're seeing on the horizon. There may be nothing that you're really praying about or praying for. But can I tell you, you are not building just for today. You are heeding the call of God for tomorrow. You are building for another day. Too often, the immediate gratification of the present is what we sacrifice the eternal for. The glass we see through darkly makes us often settle for the present comfort of what we want and what we see now. Come on, the glass may be dark, but it is not completely blinded. You can see something through it. If you'll have spiritual eyes to look, you will see that there are things ahead that we need to prepare the ark of our life for. Amen. We see through the glass darkly, and so we settle so often. But the wise man said this. This scripture is going to seem a little bit out of context or character, but really not if you look at it closely. The wise man said to consider the ant. Look at this, if you would, please. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. If an ant, everybody say ant. I saw an ant the other day. I was out grilling. There was an ant crawling on the grill. It's springtime. Thank God for springtime. Thank God for ants. Amen. Somebody say amen. There's something to say amen for. Go to the ant. If an ant can understand the necessity to prepare now to survive then, how much more should we who are made in his image? If an ant can figure that out, how much more should we figure it out? If an ant can figure out there's going to be something coming down the line and they better take care of things now, amen, how much more should you and I, who have the Spirit of God in our life, who have the Holy Ghost, who have the Word of God in front of us, how much more should you and I that are should be able to be convicted by certain things, amen, that we would respond now and we would store up, we would plan ahead, amen. We would do it because there are things that are yet unseen.
That's right.
We're not just living this life for the gratification of the here and now, but we're preparing for a day for the saving of our souls. Reverence to God should move us to a place of response, both in the flesh and in the spirit, musicians, if you would. Reverence to God should do something to us.
Yes.
That reverence to God should do something to us to respond in this flesh and in the spirit, because it's not good enough just to respond in the spirit, and it is not good enough just to be satisfied to respond in the flesh. Everybody hearing this right now? I didn't plan on talking about this, but I'm going to talk about it for a second. We cannot be satisfied in the church because we have often been satisfied in the church to have only fleshly response with very little spiritual impact. It can't be that we are satisfied to do fleshly things, to live out particular things in our life that have a demonstration but deny the power thereof. Amen. Because that's a part of the end times. Do you understand it? In the last days, in the end times, perilous times would come. Dangerous times, that is translated best. Dangerous times would come. And he gave the list. I read it here, as a matter of fact, Wednesday night. And then he went on down and he told us, but they would deny the power thereof. Now, that's what happens when we only live for God and according to fleshly response. If there is no spiritual impact, if there's no spiritual depth, amen, then all this on the surface, it will have no power. It will have no impact. And it can't be that it's all spirit either. And we can't think that just somehow we can have a spiritual response in our heart without some impact on the flesh. Because if there is really something going on the inside, then there's going to be something going on the outside. If we're really going to have... I'm not going to get into it right now, but it's not about the gifts of the Spirit, but it definitely is about the fruits of the Spirit. If I'm going to have something going on the inside, then there's going to be fruits of the Spirit that's being born on the outside. There's going to be some love, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost that's happening. Somebody say amen. Amen. If I'm really going to have the Holy Ghost working within me, then I'm not going to be just satisfied to have this meek little prayer, but there's going to be something that erupts, if you would, that's going to be felt and going to be seen. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when you have love one to another. Amen. So there's got to be flesh and there's got to be spirit and it's got to work together. A reverence to God should move us to a place of response in both. Things not seen as yet, be it a storm in the future. Everybody hear me now. Be it a storm in the future, an end time that will present itself with unexpected challenges and changes, a day of death that is appointed once to us all, or the trump of God that shall sound and we shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Whatever it might be, there should be a response. Whatever it is that we don't see quite clearly yet, we see through the glass darkly, there should be something going on right now that we have somewhat of an understanding. Amen. I particularly believe, I know this has been a little bit more of a Bible study type message today, but just to hear me for a second. I particularly believe that no man knows the day nor the hour of the return of the Lord. We know that. Amen. The Bible tells us that. But I do believe that we have the type of Noah in the Word, that Noah was warned that there was a storm coming, rain was going to fall, flood was going to destroy the earth, and thereby there was the preparing of the ark. And then 7 days before that flood began to happen, that rain began to descend and the waters began to break up from beneath. The Lord gave warning to Noah to enter into the ark, to bring his family into the ark because it was time. We may not know the day nor the hour, but the Holy Ghost within us, the Spirit of God that we know, the Word of God should quicken us to know that we are there, that we are, that it's time to come in the ark, that it's time to prepare the saving of our soul, the saving of our household. There should be something. No, you don't know the day or the hour. I don't know the day or the hour, but my spirit resonates and tells me something's afoot. Something is working. Something is. Anybody feeling this with me right now? Come on, look around. You don't have to look on CNN very far. You don't have to look on things around this world to know that there's a spiritual thing that's happening. So the church should not be caught unawares. Amen. The word said that, lest that day come upon you unawares. In other words, that's saying you don't have to be caught unaware. We can be ready for the rapture. We can be ready for the day that we draw our last breath. We can be ready, whatever the future might hold. Amen. It doesn't matter. Hey, I thought about this while I was looking at this particular scripture, and when I thought, well, somebody might think I'm talking about prepping for a doomsday. Doomsday preppers. You've seen all those shows and read all those things. I'm not talking about that at all. You want to know why? Because there is no doomsday for the church. Come on, all the prognosticators of doom and gloom can say it's bad and it's just falling apart. Amen. It was never meant to be held together in the first place. Amen. It was meant to be put in the hands of God. We put it in the hands of man, it falls apart. We put it in the hands of God, it's going to be okay. So if you're worried and you're fearful today, I'm telling you, you don't have to be worried and you don't have to be fearful and you don't have to wonder what's going on. Build an ark, get inside of it, live the word of God, be saved today, find the peace of God. Everything's going to be okay when you're in his hands. Amen. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to turn his back on you. He's going to keep on loving you even when you're unlovable, even when you're discouraged. He's going to be the lifter up of your head. Anybody feeling this with me right now? You just got to build the ark. You got to prepare for things not yet seen. Amen. You got to pray every day. Read that word every day. Why? Because you trust in the one that you love and you want to tell him every day, I love you, God. I trust in you, God. I believe in you, God. I hope in you, God. Hallelujah. All of that and more should move us to the place that we build, that we prepare, that we live a life that's not just about reaction, but an action of love for Jesus. Amen. Oh, hear me. David said early, will I seek thee. And so hear me. I believe that was not just about early in the day. Yes, we know it was early in the day, but I believe it was more than just early in the day. He was seeking him early before he needed him. Amen. So I'm telling you, seek God now so that he can be found when that healing needs to happen or that child needs deliverance and is brought before the throne. Know God now to be known of him. Then build the ark now so you got someplace to run. Have a prayer life now so you got someplace that you know I can turn to and it's going to be okay. Amen. Find the word of God now so that you can run to it then. Somebody build an ark with me here in this house as we begin to pray all over this place and they begin to sing. Come on, somebody start building an ark. Yeah, there's things we don't see yet, but God, move us with reverence. Come on, lift your hands and your hearts and your minds and your lives and begin to pray, God, help me to see through this glass darkly. To push back the veil of flesh and to push back the things, God, that would obscure the vision of what you want and need me to see. Lord, help us right now, God. Come on, somebody pray it with me. God, help me to be moved with reverence for the things not seen as yet. Hallelujah. It's the things not yet seen that should move us to be saved now. Somebody pray. Somebody pray that. Come on, if you like, you're able to. You're welcome to step out of your pew and come to this altar. You can do that with social distancing. You can come here and repent. You can come to this altar and find hope and amen. And you can find the peace that you've been looking for and wondering about. There's hope in the house today. There's healing in the house today. There's salvation in this house today. To repent and be baptized in his name and filled with his spirit. If you got fear in your home, God will give you faith when you build an ark. If you got fear in your life, God will settle those fears. All you have to do is trust him, believe in him, have faith in him. Come on, pray that. Pray that, God, help me to endure. God, help me to be saved today. Help me, Lord, in my weaknesses and my inadequacies, God. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Come on, our hope is in Jesus. Our life is in Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Oh, God, we are building an ark today for the saving of our household. We are building an ark at home for the saving of our household. We are building an ark, God, for the saving of our soul. In the Savior's love. Hallelujah. He is Lord. You are Lord of all. Sovereign God, I believe in you this day, Jesus. Cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Come on, that's right. He's the hope of your home. He's the hope of your marriage. He's the hope of your life. He's the hope for your children. In the Savior's love. Hallelujah. You are Lord of all. Oh God, my Savior, my Redeemer, my King. Hallelujah. Oh, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Oh, Lord, Lord of all. Cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. A Father who is faithful, O God who is righteous, O God who is perfect. I pray today for every one of us here, O God, that every one of us would build, that every one of us would respond. We would see God through this glass darkly and know, Lord, that there are things that we must put in your trust and in your care. It's not about the now, but it is about then, God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, lift your hands and your hearts to God right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I worship you. In the name of Jesus, I praise you. In the name of Jesus, God, I glorify you. You are sovereign.